So there's an awareness here in the Mahayana itself that the tradition is new. It's not something that's known in the traditional community. And the way that they can explain the novelty of this tradition is to say, well, the Buddha really did teach it. It's his real teaching, the one that he really intended. But people weren't ready to hear it during the lifetime of the historical Buddha. So it was concealed for several centuries and then brought forth and promulgated in this world. Now, all of this is very nice, but scholars are really quite uncertain, truth be told, about what the actual origin of the Mahayana is. There's suggestions in the Mahayana tradition that practitioners perhaps fasted and meditated in order to receive visions and revelations from great Buddhas of the past. It's conceivable that some of the early texts of the Mahayana came to people in this way, as visions that they interpreted as being revelations from past Buddhas. Although this really can't be true of the most elaborate literary sutras of the Mahayana. Many of the Mahayana sutras don't have the quality really of visionary experiences, but of literary texts, literary documents. Some scholars have suggested that the Mahayana arose among circles of lay people who were worshippers at particular stupas, at shrines where the relics of the Buddha were the focus of devotion. This view has now been pretty much discredited by scholars. It seems clear that the Mahayana had a strong monastic component right from the very beginning. So it's not accurate to say that the Mahayana was a lay movement as opposed to a monastic movement. It included components of both. So if we're uncertain about the origin of the Mahayana, what can we say about the basic teaching of the Mahayana? The answer to that question is a lot more clear. The fundamental teaching of Mahayana Buddhism is what's called the Bodhisattva ideal. A bodhisattva, as you recall from some of the discussion we had of the lifetime of the Buddha, is a Buddha to be, somebody who isn't a Buddha yet, but somehow plans to become a Buddha in a future life. You can translate the word bodhisattva as future Buddha, Buddha to be, somebody who is on the path to Buddhahood sometime down the road in a future life. And a bodhisattva in the Mahayana tradition doesn't attempt to go straight to nirvana, but returns to this world and attempts to help others along the path to nirvana. This means that bodhisattvas can include laymen and laywomen, as well as monks and nuns, because all of us, whether we're monks or not, can be understood to be part of some path that leads us to Buddhahood down the road in the future. Bodhisattvas who come back like this into this world to help others along the way cultivate two important virtues. This is really significant in the Mahayana. Two important virtues. One, of course, is wisdom, that great virtue that was discussed in the early accounts of the Buddhist path that leads you to nirvana. Wisdom that involves the understanding of no self and frees you from attachment to this world. But in addition to wisdom, bodhisattvas explicitly now, in a way that really wasn't consciously understood before, develop the virtue of compassion. The word is karuna. It's a crucial Mahayana word. So bodhisattvas do two things. Cultivate two virtues. Wisdom, you might call it a contemplative virtue, a quiet virtue that has to do with understanding the nature of the self and the nature of the world. And then compassion, a virtue that has to do with actively seeking the welfare of others. The Mahayana always has this double aspect, contemplation, action, understanding the self, and bringing that understanding into the world to make it available for other people. My old teacher of Buddhism at Harvard used to talk about the bodhisattva path as two-way traffic, a two-way street, as opposed to a one-way street